Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chav Ches. We are holding toward the end of daf Chav Zayin and Beis. We finished yesterday with the Mishnah itself. We read the Mishnah about Psulei Korva. So the entire daf today is going to be about the Psul of Korvin, which relatives are considered Pasulei Edus, and which ones are not considered Pasulei Edus. We're going to start, however, in the process of finding the source for Psulei Krovim. The Gemara is going to touch on the issue of children being punished for the sins of their fathers, and vice versa, parents being punished for the sins of the children. So we're going to discuss that for a little bit at the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the source that cousins are Pasul Eidos against each other, and not only Pasul Eidos to each other, but cousins together cannot testify about somebody else, meaning the two Eidim cannot be cousins to each other. That's why when you're under a chuppah and you ask to be an Eid Kiddushin or something, they ask, the Masada Kiddushin asks or should ask, are you related to the chassan, the kala, or to each other? And if the answer is yes, then we got to find another Eid. The Gemara is then going to discuss the source for Psuli Krovim and Krove Aim, meaning the Gemara is going to discuss the source for the issue of Psuli Krovim as regards to Krove Aim, which are not explicit in the Pasuk. Only the Pasuk only discusses Krove Av, father's side of the family. It's going to talk about the source for Psuli Krovim by Edus Lizchus. The Torah only talks about Lo Yubasu, about being Machai of the person. It's going to talk about Dine Mamanus, because the Pasuk doesn't talk about Dine Mamanus explicitly either, only talks about Dine Nefashos. We're going to discuss the source for how far we go with Psuli Krovim. Shlishi Berishon, Shlishi Besheni, how many generations down do you go till you assume that they're no longer considered related to each other? On Amud Beis, we're going to discuss stepbrothers, Mechutanim, stepsons, and brother-in-laws, and to what extent those relatives are puzzled themselves, and to what extent their relatives are puzzled to you. Meaning many of these relatives are such close relatives that not only are they puzzled, but as Nisha said, who? Ubno v'chasano. They, their children, and their sons-in-law are also puzzled to you. So we're going to discuss, is that true of all of these relatives? And then at the very end of the daf, if we get to it, we're going to begin a discussion of karov v'nisrachik. What if someone used to be related, but he's no longer related? They were related through marriage, and then the connecting person died, or there was a divorce, so they're no longer related to us. Do we still consider them to be psulei edus? So let's begin Chav Zayin and Beis right after the Mishnah. Minani mili, where do we know this idea that there is this din of psulei krovim? So says Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanu, we have a brisa that darshins directly from a pasuk. Lo yumsu avos al banim. Matam lomar. What is that pasuk teaching me when it says fathers do not die for their children? Im lalamich lo yumsu avos ba'avon banim ubanim ba'avon avos. If it's just trying to tell me that each person doesn't get punished for the other one's sins, the fathers don't get punished for the son's sins, and the sons don't get punished for the father's sins, I don't need that pasuk to teach me that din. We have another pasuk that teaches me that din. Ish b'cheto yumasu. Not another pasuk, the same pasuk actually. The pasuk says, lo yumsu avos al banum, ubanum lo yumsu al avos, and then the end of the pasuk is, ish b'cheto yumasu, that each person dies for their own sins. So I already know that a person dies for his own sins and doesn't get punished for the sins of his relatives. So what do I do with the first half of the pasuk? Elo lo yumsu avos al banim be'edus banim. Lo yumsu avos al banim teaches me that edus banim, that the testimony of the children is not going to have the father killed. So banim lo yumsu al avos be'edus avos. So when it says banim lo yumsu al avos, that's talking about the edus of the avos. The father's testimony is not going to have the children killed. Ubanim ba'avon avos lo. So ask the Gemara, wait a second. Parenthetically, we happen to mention over here that no one gets punished for the other one's sins. Fathers don't get punished for the son's sins. Sons don't get punished for the father's sins. Is that really true? Vaksiv poked avon avos al banim. Doesn't the pasuk tell us that Hashem metes out the punishment of the father's sins on the children? The children do get punished for the father's sins. means, how can you say that they don't? No, that's only, it's true, they sometimes do get punished for the father's sins, but that's only if they continue in the path of their fathers. If they commit the same averos that the fathers did, then they not only get punished for their own sins, they can get punished for the father's sins as well, because that's their way of showing approval for the father's sins, so that then they'll get punished for it. But short of that, if the father did averos and the kid has nothing to do with those averos, the kid is not going to get punished for what his father did. Where do we see this, kid Tanya? That's only when you actually follow the ways of the father. Are we sure? Is that only when they follow the ways of the father? Maybe even if they don't follow the ways of their fathers, they should still get punished. Since the pasuk tells us that a man only dies for his own sins, he doesn't die for someone else's sins, what would be the only explanation of a pasuk that teaches us that you die for someone else's sins? It must be when you're ochsin myself and be a dayan, when you follow the father's path. So velo, says Gemara, furthermore, are you still sure that you just don't get punished for a relative's averos, for a father's averos? Vaksiv v'chashlu ish b'achiv. Doesn't v'chashlu ish b'achiv mean that for what your brother did, you get punished? So don't we see from here that you might get punished for someone else's avera? Ish ba'avon achiv melamed shekulin arevim zebazeh. You see from here that it's a man gets punished for his brother's sin because of this notion of arvas, that everybody is responsible for each other, and I bear a certain level of responsibility for my fellow Jew, and therefore if he does an avera, it does become my problem, it becomes my issue, and I get punished for it. So says Gemara, now that's also a different story. Hasam shayu biyadam limchos v'lo michu. That's if you had the ability to make a macha, you had the ability to prevent him, to stop him, and you chose not to do so, so then yes, then you're going to get punished for his sin. So essentially what we said over here is that typically speaking, one does not get punished for a father's sins, a son's sins, a brother's sins, any other Jew's sins, unless if it's a father, you follow the path of his sins, then you'll get punished for that as well. Or if it's any other Jew that you had the ability to make a macha and you chose not to make a macha, you chose to just let it slide and not say anything, then you get punished for them as well. Now, when the Gemara originally asked this stira, the Gemara said, well, how could it be? You don't get punished for a father's sins. What about the fact that it says, poket avon avos al banim? So Rabbeinu Yonah just wonders, why is that such a kasha? When we say that when the pasuk says, we're talking about, you know, ish b'cheta yumasu, we're talking about a person not getting punished for somebody else's sins. We're talking about Beis Din. That Beis Din is not going to punish you for somebody else's sins. When the pasuk says, poket avon avos al banim, that's not Beis Din. Beis Din is not going to try you for your father's sins. That's talking about min hashamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be poket avon avos al banim, that a person should be careful. You think your averos are only going to cost you, they're going to cost your children as well. So Rabbeinu Yonah wonders, why doesn't the Gemara just give that simple answer? Poker avos albanim is not something that Beis Din is able to do. That's something that min hashamayim is going to happen. Furthermore, the Gemara answers, when they're machzik maisa v'yoseim, then the banim get punished as well. You're going to say that's true in Beis Din? Is that the case? A child follows the sins of his father. We're going to try him in Beis Din for his father's sins? I mean, that's what we seem to be talking about over here. We seem to be talking about Beis Din. So the Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that initially the Gemara thought that there's no chiluk between Dine Adam and Dine Shemayim with regard to this. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish the Banim for Maisa Avoseyam, why shouldn't Beis Din do the same? But once the Gemara answers that we only punish those who are Machzik Avoseyam, then we realize that this is only a Dine Shemayim issue. This is not a Dine Adam issue, because a person is a person can only see what a person does. A person who cannot see is not Yira Lelevav. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bochen Kleis Velev and understands what we're actually thinking when we do things. So Beis Din cannot say what is considered Achizas Maisav Oseim Biyodeim to be Mechayiv. Meaning maybe the kid has his own Yetzer Hara. The kid has his own things. It's not that he's following a family tradition of sin. He has his own Taivas. He has his own issues. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can know when it's truly Machzik Maisav Oseim Hashem Yadayim. And he says, so in a suffix, we assume that that Bezin Shalmata has to assume a person is not Machzik Ma'aseh V'Sayim Yadayim. And that's what the Gemara means. It's Ish B'Chatay Yumasu is K'she'in Oksim, because since the pasuk could be explained, talking about Dine Adam, so it's always going to be considered as Ein Oksim Ma'aseh V'Sayim Yadayim, because we can never know for sure if a person is Oksim Ma'aseh V'Sayim Yadayim. Now the Marsha writes at the end, we said that the Kashlish Ba'achiv means Ish Ba'avon Achiv. So the Marsha writes that they were medayik this from the fact that it says V'chashlu B'lashon Rabim, according to the simple pshat, they're all Ratzim V'nichshalim Zebazeh. It should have said V'chashel, that each one of the Jewish people are Nichshal B'chavero. But based on the drash, they're not where it's about the Averos of the other person. So that's why it says V'chashlu B'lashon Rabim. Okay, so says the Gemara, back to our discussion of Psulei Edus. Ashkechan avos labanim ubanim laavos. So we see from here that the an earlier generation is possible edus on a later generation, and the later generation the earlier generation. A father and a son and a father, uncle and nephew, nephew uncle. Good, that's all fine. The kolshken avos ladadi, and certainly within the same generation, within that first generation, two brothers avos ladadi, meaning if the two of us have fathers who are brothers to each other, so those two fathers cannot testify together. But banim lebanim minalan. How do I know that the second generation, meaning that first cousins, cannot testify about each other or with each other? Say imkein lichtof kra loyimsu avos al ben. My banim dafil lebanim ladadi. It's the plural that gives it away, that it says banim and not just ben. So you see that even banim lahadadi cannot testify. Ashkan banim ladadi. Banim lealma minalan. Great. So now I know that first cousins cannot testify for each other. How do I know that first cousins cannot testify together about somebody else? So I'm Rami Bar Chama Svarahu. It's simple logic. Kidatanya, Ein Edim Nasim Zomim Achi Yezum Shnein. If you want to turn a set of Edim into Edim Zomim, you need to be Mazim both of the Edim. So essentially, if I want to be Mazim, if let's say Reuven and Shimon testify together, if I want to be Mazim Reuven, I can only do so if I'm being Mazim Shimon. So Reuven's only going to be punished based on what Shimon had done, based on if Shimon is also found to be an Eid Zomim. So you see from there that Reuven is not only dying as a result of what he had done, but also as a result of what his partner in Eidus had done as well. So the partners in Eidus, says the Gemara, v'isagdaidach banim li'al maksherin, if you hold partners in Eidus could be first cousins, nimtza Eid Zomim nerag, it will turn out that the Eid Zomim is only getting killed because of what his first cousin did, meaning because of what his fellow Eid did. Since that's the mechanism, that's the way Eid Zomim works, that you need to be Mazim, both of the Eidim, in order to punish any of them, it turns out that each of the Eidim are being punished on account of the other. So that's why they can't be related to each other, because you can't die for something that a relative had done. I think I forgot to announce at the beginning of the shiur that today's shiur is still sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Elzachusor for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, and for Sarah Freida Baschai Elisheva for Shlema Besoch Shar Chol Yisrael. So back to the discussion over here. So you see that Edom, that we see from Edom Zomim, that's how I know that two people who are testifying together cannot be related to each other. Amle Rava Ultemech. So Rava says, wait a second, according to that any time people are in the same grouping of Edom, they can't be related to each other, because then it will turn out that they're dying on account of the other, or they're being punished on account of the other one. If that were the case, Hadatanan, what are we going to do with the following Mishnah? We have a Mishnah Maseches Bava Basra, Shlosha Achin Ve'echad Mitztarif Imahin. Let's say you have three brothers that each testify about a guy living in a property for 1 year, and then there's another guy who's not related to these three brothers who testifies about all 3 years. So, Hare Elu Gimlei Duyos, they're considered three separate Eduyos, and therefore they're all accepted. It's testimony of year one, with Reuven and the stranger, testimony of year two with Shimon and the stranger. stranger, testimony of year three with Levi and the stranger. Good, but vein edus achas la'azama. But when it comes to being mazim, these edim, to turning them into edim zomim and costing them the property that they were trying to cost the rightful owner, they're all a single edus for azama, which means you need to be mazim all of them in order for it to be edus azama. Nimse ed zomim mishalim mamon be'edus achiv. But you see directly over here that by edim zomim we do allow that an ed zomim will be punished as a result of his partner in edus, even if that partner in Eidos is a relative. So don't tell me that the whole Svara, that two relatives are not allowed to testify together, is that how would Eidim Zomim work? Because Eidim Zomim would then end up getting punished as a result of their relative. We don't have a problem with that. We allow Eidim Zomim to get punished as a result of their relative in the Mishnah in Baba Basra, where you have three brothers and one stranger that testifies together with all three, that clearly the brothers are only getting punished because all of the brothers are found to be Eidim Zomim. Ella, why is that okay? Why do we allow for that in Baba Basra? Hazama me'al makasi. The way we view Hazama is that it's something external. It's something that comes from outside of the testimony. We don't say that each brother's testimony is killing the other one or costing the other one money. No, it's the guys who are mazim in them that are costing them. It just happens to be one of the qualifications to implement the Hazama is that all of them need to be found zomim. But we don't consider that inherent, that it's coming from within the testimony. Testimony. So we are also, this isn't a good enough source to teach me that two brothers or two cousins cannot testify together. No, the Hazama comes from outside. Where do I know then that two brothers and two cousins cannot testify together? Ela imke lichtov kra uben al avos inami heim al avos. There are other ways we could have formulated the psul of krovin. My ubanim. Why does it say ubanim as opposed to uben or heim? Afil ubanim li alma. That's to teach me that even two cousins or two brothers that want to testify together about somebody else, even that is going to be a psul. Ashkechan krove'af. So far what we've shown is that relatives on the father's side are pasul edus. How do I know that relatives on the mother's side are also pasul edus? Amakra avos avos trezimni. It says the word avos twice. So we don't need to be told about relatives on the father's side twice. So this is the concept of imenu inyan, that sometimes the Torah will say something that really directly is not speaking about the din that we're trying to learn from, that we're trying to learn out. It's clearly speaking about krovei av. But the fact that it repeats itself, I don't need this extra pasuk to be talking about Krovei Av. It must be that it's a reference to Krovei Ein. Now, it's interesting, the Rambam in the 13th parak of Hilchos Eidos writes that min ha-Torah only Krovei Av are pasul Eidos. Krovei Ein are pasul midivrehem. They're only pasul midirabanan. So the Rashba says, because he holds that since it doesn't say beferish in the Torah that there's any psul of Krovei Ein, the Chum learned it out from this drasha, and the Rambam is l'shitaso in the second shoresh of Sefer Mitzvos, that anything that Chachamim darshan from the Yidgum Midah Shatar and Drashban is considered midirabanan on a certain level, unless it's mefurish and shas, that it's a daraisa. So that's how the Rambam holds that Krovei Ein are only midirabanan and not midaraisa. But the Rashba himself disagrees. And he says that all the krovim that are listed in the Mishnah are all psulei daraisa. He says if whatever the Chazal darshan are only midrabanan, he should have said that all the psul krovim le'edus only midrabanan, because they darshan lo'im shavos albanan banan lo'im shalavos. Pashup Shad is that's not talking about edus at all. That's talking about dying for each other's sins. It's only because I already have ish b'cheto yumasu that I say, oh, it must be that it's about edus and not about dying for each other's sins. So the whole thing is based on the drasha. Everything is based on the drasha. So it says the Rashba, the Rambam, lishi taso, should have said that not only are krovei ein midrabanan, but krovei av are midrabanan also. Where does he come off distinguishing between krovei ein and krovei av? Furthermore, he says that just like we darshan over here from the fact that it says avos twice to teach us krovei eim, we darshan from the fact that it says yumasu twice to teach us that krovim are not kosher to be made for the zuchus of their krovim, even though it doesn't say that beferish in the pasuk either, we're about to see. It only says beferish in the pasuk, you're not allowed to testify against a relative. It never says you're not allowed to testify for a relative. Intuitively, you would think, of course you're not allowed to testify for a relative. That would be the right. That would be the greater concern. But it doesn't say it in the Torah. How do I know it? Because it says you must do twice. So the Rambam should call that a drabbanon also. That even krovei av, testifying on behalf of each other, the Rambam should say is a drabbanon. So these are the Rashba's very strong tashas on the Rambam. So the Tashbis writes that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot does not mean to say that whatever is learned out from a drasha is only a din drabbanon, not a daraisa. He says they're considered drabbanon. What's he doing in the Shrashim? The Rambam in the Shrashim to Sefer HaMitzvot is trying to figure out rules of what counts as a mitzvah in Taryag and what doesn't count as a mitzvah in Taryag. He's not trying to figure out what's a din daraisa, what's a din drabbanon. I mean, that's part of it, because that which is a drabbanon doesn't count in the mitzvah of Taryag. But fundamentally, his primary focus in the Minyan HaMitzvos, in the Shrashim of the Minyan HaMitzvos, is to come up with the rules of what counts as a mitzvah. Because, you know, it could be very random. There are 613 mitzvos. There are thousands of mitzvos. Well, how do you know what to count, what not to count? So before the Rambam, there were people that just gave lists. There were Gedolei HaGaonim and Rishonim that wrote lists of 613 mitzvos. But it seemed so random. You know, anyone could write a list of 613 if you don't have to follow any rules. The godless of the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvos, is that he made very specific rules of what counts as a mitzvah, and he still came to the number 613, which is unbelievable, to be able to come up with the rules that are going to land you at exactly 613. So that's what the Rambam's focus was. It wasn't about the Rabbanans and Arises. What he was trying to say was that they're considered the Rabbanans in that they don't count as Taryag mitzvahs. So when he says that Krovim and Mishpachas Ha'em are possibly the Vrayim, that's all he means also. He does not mean that it's only possibly the Rabbanan. Of course, this is a Drasha Gemura, Midoraisa. These are Dinim Doraisa. It just means it's not going to count as a separate mitzvah. When we say that psul krovid is a din in the Torah, is a mitzvah in the Torah, so it's not going to be a separate mitzvah in the Torah to have psul krovei aim be separate than psul krovei af. Good, says Gemara Vayter, ashkechon l'chova l'zchus minolan. Again, from the pasuk itself, we only see that they can't testify against each other. How do I know that relatives can't testify for each other? So Amar Kra yumsu trezimni. It says yumsu twice. So since it says yumsu twice, imenu in lechova tnei in lezchus. So the extra one teaches me about even testifying on behalf of each other. Ashka medinim fashos medinim mamnas minalan. It's all about misa in the pasuk. It's not about dinim mamnas. How do I know that a krovim are not even allowed to testify in dinim mamnas? Amar Kra mishpat echad yielachem mishpat hashava lachem. We darsh that it's got to be mishpat achad, that there's one set of rules for dinim amunus and dinim nefashos. The Adama explains we learn from the fact that the pasuk before this pasuk says by dinim amunus and dinim nefashos umaka beim yishlamenu umaka adam yumas, and on that we then say mishpat achad yelachem, meaning it's context over here. Mishpat achad yelachem is right after a pasuk that very briefly mentions both dinim amunus and dinim nefashos. So the mishpat achad is going back on the previous pasuk, which very clearly mentions Vayikra Perachavdal Paschavalif Maka Behema Yishalmena Dine Mamanis Umaka Adam Yumas Dine Nefashos. And then the very next pasuk Mishpatach Yelchem, they follow the same set of rules. Amrav Achi Abba Lo Yeidli Hu Ubno V'chasano. My father's brother, my uncle, cannot testify for me. Not only can he not testify for me, his son cannot, meaning my first cousin, and his son-in-law cannot, meaning my first cousin's husband is not allowed to testify for me either. Va'afani lo eidlo ani ubni v'chasani. And I can't testify for my uncle, but not only can I not testify for my uncle, my son can't testify for my uncle, and my son-in-law cannot testify for my uncle. So ask the Gemara, but wait. It's one thing to say that my uncle's son and son-in-law, that's a sheni b'sheni, meaning the way we identify relatives is the numbers that we use are how many generations removed from the common relative. So if you have brothers, they're rishon b'rishon. They're one generation removed from their father, who is the common relative. First cousin are a sheni b'sheni, because they're both two generations removed from the common relative. Me and my uncle are a sheni b'rishon, because I am two generations removed from my grandfather, who is my uncle's father, and therefore only one generation removed from my uncle. So good. So when I talk about my uncle and his son, and my uncle's son-in-law, all of that is a sheni b'sheni. It's me and my first cousins. So my uncle's son-in-law is my first cousin with a bal kishto. Good, but it's all first cousins. When I talk about my son to my uncle, that's a shlishi berishon, right? My uncle is one generation removed from my grandfather, from my grandfather. My son is three generations removed from my grandfather. That's a shlishi berishon. So ask Gemara v'amai, why does Rav say that this is a problem? Havali shlishi berishon v'anan sheni b'sheni t'nan sheni berishon t'nan shlishi berishon lo t'nan. In our Mishnah, we learned that a sheni b'sheni is a problem. We learned that a sheni berishon is a problem. We never learned that a shlishi berishon is a problem. So why does Rav raise an issue with a shlishi berishon? So says Gemara, you got to look more carefully at our Mishnah. My chasanu dekatani b'masnisin chasan b'no. You know, when the Mishnah said chasano, it didn't mean my son-in-law, it meant my son's son-in-law. I mean, what did the Mishnah say? It said, Achi Aviv, your uncle, Ubino, and his son, Vichasano, and his son-in-law. Whose son-in-law? My uncle's son-in-law? That would only be my first cousin's husband. That's a Sheni B'Sheni. No, maybe it means my uncle, his son, who's my first cousin, and my first cousin's son-in-law. Oh, so that's a shlishi already. My first cousin's son-in-law is a shlishi. So maybe that's what it's referring to. So says Gemara, well, why would you say it that way then? Velisni ben bino. If you want to introduce a third generation, why introduce my first cousin's son-in-law? Why not just introduce my first cousin's son? And that would be a third generation. Well, milsag avorche kamashmalam de bal ki'ishto. Because the Mishnah also wanted to teach me this din of bal ki'ishto. The bal ki'ishto is also a problem. Ve'alahad tani reb chiyah shmona Avil Shein Esrim Barba Hanithas Vitatinavi says Gemara, but wait a second. Rabbi Chiya said that of the eight basic relatives listed in the Mishnah, it really turns out to be 24 because it's they, their sons, and their sons-in-law. But now, if you're going to add another generation, it's actually 32 relatives. It's they, their sons-in-law, and their grandsons. So it's actually 32 relatives. Rashi points out that it's actually more. There's their sons-in-law. There's my first cousin's sons and their sons-in-law. But once we mention sons-in-law, so sons-in-law just get mentioned together. So no, maybe really our Mishnah meant not my first cousin's son-in-law, my uncle's son and my uncle's son-in-law. And that's what Rav meant also. Why does he call it chasan b'no? That since the son-in-law is not a blood relative, it's considered as if he's another generation removed. But says Mar, but wait, then that's a shlishi b'sheni. And Rav says that a shlishi b'sheni is kasher. How come over here he's going to say that a shlishi b'sheni is going to be a problem? Meaning if the chasan that is really considered a dar acher, and the Mishnah says chasan achi abba is pasul to me, so that's meaning my uncle's son-in-law is the same as being my uncle's grandson. So that's like my uncle's son-in-law is considered as if he's another generation removed, as if he's a shlishi. I am a sheni to the common relative of my uncle, to my grandfather. So that's a shlishi b'sheni. That's not just a shlishi b'rishon. And Rav definitely says a shlishi b'sheni is kasher. Ella Rav damak Rabbi Lazar. You want to know where Rav is coming from? He's pleyols like Rabbi Lazar. D'tanya, Rabbi Lazar omer, k'shem sha'achi abba lo yoyli, hu b'nav chasano, just like my uncle cannot testify for me, nor can his son or son-in-law, kach ben achi abba, so to my first cousin, lo yoyli, hu b'nav chasano, cannot testify for me, nor he, nor his son, nor his son-in-law. But if you pass on like Rablazar just painted a picture for you of a shlishi b'sheni. My first cousin's son to me is a shlishi b'sheni. So I thought Rav doesn't have a problem with that. Rav Savar lekavasav b'chada upalagale b'chada. He agrees with him about the shlishi b'rishon part. He doesn't go as far as saying a shlishi b'sheni. My time at the Rav. What's the svar for Rav? Damar kral liyim suvavos albanim ubanim l'rabos dar acher. Ubanim comes to add another generation, a third generation. Blazer al banim amir rachman psulei davos shadi abanim, that anything that you have in one generation you're allowed to add another generation on both sides, and that's why he would say even a shlishi b'sheni. Amir of Nachman achi chamosi, my mother-in-law's brother, lo yeidli, cannot testify for me. Ben achi chamosi, my mother-in-law's brother's son, lo yeidli, cannot testify for me. Ben achos chamosi, lo yeidli, the son of my mother-in-law's sister, cannot testify for me. V'tanatuna balachosa ubalachos aviv ubalachosimo heinu b'nein v'chaseyin. And the way the Tana formulates it is that your sister's husband, your father's sister's husband, your mother's sister's husband, and their children and their children-in-law are all psule edus. What about my father-in-law's brother? Ben achi chamav mahu. What about my father-in-law's brother's son? Ben achos chamav mahu. What about my father-in-law's sister's son? Meaning my wife's first cousin. Amrlan tnisua. Achi v'achi aviv v'achi imo heinu b'nein v'chasanein. My wife's first cousins are all psule edus. There's a question whether it's psule edus d'oraisa or psule edus d'rabanan when you talk about a wife's first cousins, but we assume that they're definitely psule edus. This is something that turns out to be a fairly common mistake. Every time I've ever given a shir about psule edus, someone in the, you know, whenever it's been outside of this shul, someone in the audience always comes over to me, are you sure? Because on my ksuba, my wife's first cousin signed, or something like that, or, my first cousin's husband signed, and or at a, worse yet, at a kiddushin, one of my eide kiddushin, now 10 years later into marriage with 3 children, so you have these kinds of problems. Yeah, we have to redo Kiddushin sometimes, and we have to certainly redo Ksubas based on this. Redoing Kiddushin is a little more touchy. We look for other ways, that maybe there were other Kasher Edim in the crowd, there were other things to rely on. The Masada Kiddushin, who obviously wasn't that brilliant if any of this happened, but he's probably Kasher Le'edus at least. So Rav Ikla Lemizban Gavili, Rav went to go sell klafim. What's the halach about a person testifying about the wife of his stepson? So besura amri balkishto, pumdusa amri isha kabaila. They have different expressions as a way of saying that a husband and wife are considered like the same person. So they said balkishto or isha kabaila, but they mean the same idea that a husband and wife are the same. So just like you're possible to be made about Chorgo, you're possible about Eishes Chorgo as well. Damrav Huna Amrav Minayin Sheish Kabayla Duchsev Ervas Achi Avichalos Segala El Ishtalos Ukrav Dodoska He Valo Eishes Dodo He. How do you say Dodoska He? She's the wife of your dod. Mechal the Isha Kabayla. You see that she's called your aunt because Isha Kabayla, because she's married to your uncle, that makes her your aunt. Ubal Imohu Benov Chasano. Your mother's husband and his son and his son-in-law. Beno Haynu Achiv. What do you mean? His son. That's your brother. Amrav Yer. No, your stepbrother, meaning if he is your stepfather's son from a previous marriage. Rav Chista Achshar Bachia Ach. Rav Chista says nothing wrong with a stepbrother testifying. Amalei Lo Shmiel Achad Rabbi Yirmiya. Did you not hear of Rabbi Yirmiya's din that a stepbrother's puzzle? Amalei Lo Shmieli Kolomar Lo Svirili. He said Lo Shmieli. What he really meant is, of course, I heard it. I just disagree. Ihachi Hainu Achiv. If it's true that the Mishnah does not puzzle a stepbrother, so why does the Mishnah have to say Beno of your mother's husband? After all, isn't that your brother? So Tanach Minaav, Ketani Achav Minaim. The Mishnah wants to highlight that both your brother on your father's side and your brother on your mother's side are both psuleidus. Amrav Chista Avicha San Vavikala Miidin Zelzem. Mechutanim are allowed to be made to each other. V'lo Damila Adadi Aluki Achlo L'dana. What they're like is like a cover on a jug. They're not really connected directly to each other. They happen to be in proximity to each other, so they're related through their children, but they're not actually related. Amar Rabbi Bechana, Meir Adam liishtar arusa. A person could be Meir about his ishtar arusa, meaning if he did not yet have nisuin, he's not yet considered a karov to his wife that he only has erisin with. Amar Avina lo Amar nela puke mina. That's only if you're testifying against her. Avalo yule lo lo mevin. But if you're testifying to grant her something, to give her more money, you're not going to be believed. Velohi lo shan la puke velo shan la yule lo mevin. We assume that in either direction, you're not able to testify about Arusa. She's actually considered a relative. May daitech, what's the svara to say that you're not allowed to testify for your Arusa? Kedam Reb Chia Barami Mishmedeula Ishta Arusa La Onein Velo Metamila. Because an Ishta Arusa, a Kohen whose Arusa wife dies, is does not become usher from eating kachim based on aninus, and nor is he allowed to be metame to her because she's not like an Ashes Kohen, so he has no mitzvah to be metame to her. lo nenes v'lo metame lo. Mesa, and if she dies, eino yarsha, he does not yarshin her. Mesu, if he dies, gov ksuba, so she does collect her ksuba. What you see from here is that an arsa and an arusa are not related, because the dinim of tumah of a kohen don't apply, so they're not related to each other. So how come by edus you're going to consider them related? It says, where are the two separate dinim? Hasam b'she'ero, tal rachmana, akati lav she'ero hi. Hacha mishum akruve daitu, v'ayu akruve daitu legaba. When it comes to Yerusha and Tetuma, that's about She'ero. They're not yet considered related in that level. When it comes to Edus, it's about Kruvedas. It's about whether they feel related, whether they feel very close to each other. And that they certainly have, even only at the stage of Erusin. Chorgo Levado, we then said that a stepson alone, without all the Bino V'chasano relatives, the stepson alone is postulated. Tan Rabban, Chorgo Levado, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Giso. Rabbi Yossi says, a brother-in-law. V'tani Idach, Giso Levado, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chorgo. So, my kamar, what exactly are these tanaim trying to tell me? If you want to tell me that they all agree that both Chargo and Giso are alone, that it's not their sons and sons-in-law, it's only them that are apostle. Well, then when the Mishnah says that Giso includes his son and his son-in-law, is against both of these tanaim. Chargo levado aval Giso, hu b'nov chasano. Tanakama of Rabbi Yossi says, Chorgo is levado, but Giso includes his son and his son-in-law. Vas Rabbi Yossi lememar, Giso levado, aval Chorgo b'nov chasano. He says, no, it's the reverse. Chorgo is alone, and Giso is alone, but Chorgo includes b'nov chasano. Ve'alahad etani Rabbi Chia, shemona aval shein esron arba, keman lo Rabbi Yossi v'lo Rabbi Yuda. But then it turns out that there aren't eight basic relatives that turn into 24, because both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yuda add a ninth relative. They just disagree who that ninth relative is. Is it Chargo or is it Giso? But everyone, both of them have a ninth relative that they add to the list. Ela hachikamer. What you have to say is as follows. Chargo levado, aval Giso, hu b'nov chasano. That the Tanakhama holds, Chargo alone is possible. Giso includes, your brother-in-law includes his son and his son-in-law. Vas Rabbi Yossi lemeimar, Giso levado v'kol shekein Chargo. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, both Giso and Chargo are all alone. They are not included in the 8 that turns into 24, because they do not include their son and son-in-law. Umasnisin Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the Mishnah works out very nicely, like Rabbi Yehuda, when the Mishnah says that a Giso is puzzled together with his son and son-in-law. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. And Brisa, Rabbi Yossi, the Brisa that says that it's 8, which is 24, fits in beautifully with Shitas Rabbi Yossi, that it's neither Chargo nor Giso are included with Bnei V'chasano. We pass like Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara assumes this means Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, that we only pass someone who's Roi Eliyarsho. There was a Shtar Matana that two brothers in law were signed on Erez Eidim. Some Rabbi Yossi Lachshura, Rabbi Yossi wanted to make it kosher. Dam Rabbi Dom Rishmuel Halach Rabbi Yossi, because we just paskined like Rabbi Yossi. And Giso, your brother in law, is not Roi Eliyarsho, so it should be totally fine. Amalei Abai, Maid Rabbi Yossi Masnis, and the Machshur Begiso, Dom Rabbi Yossi, the Bryce, the Possible Begiso. Whoa, we're not talking about, when we say we pass on Rabbi Yossi, we don't mean Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah who thinks a brother-in-law is not a psoledus. We mean Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa who thinks that a brother-in-law is a psoledus, but that his son and his son-in-law are not included. That's all we meant when we say we pass on Rabbi Yossi. Says Marlo Salkadaitach, no, you can't think that Shmuel meant to pass Gisim for Edus, to pass brothers-in-law for Edus. Damar Shmuel, Kigona, no, Pinchas, Tavina, Achi, Vigisi. I and Pinchas, my brother, who are both brothers and brother-in-law, because they both married two sisters, we are pasul edus. Sounds like aval gisa de'al mashaper dami, that if we only had the less close relationship, we were only brothers-in-law, then that would be fine. So he says, how do you know that's what he meant? V'dilma kugona no Pinchas mishum degiso kamar. Maybe he meant to say me and my brother-in-law Pinchas, and he was forgetting about the brother part. He was just focusing on the brother-in-law part, and that was the thing that really puzzled them. Samalei zil kani be'edim mesira. So they had to come up with some eights over here. Rav Yosef accepted what Abaye said, that Shmuel really meant to pass like Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa, that Gisim are puzzled. But here they have a Shtar Matana that Gisim are signed on. What are they going to do? So he said, go be Mekayim the Shtar with other Edim that saw the Mesira of the Matana, and that will be good enough instead of having an actual Shtar. Reb Elazar, and then you'll assume like Reb Elazar, Edim Mesira Karti, that as long as you have Edim Mesira, that would be good enough. It's nice that you have this notion of Eidim Mesira Karti and you want to pass on to Rabbi Lazar, but even Rabbi Lazar's moda that if you have a shtar that's Mezuyif Mitocho, you have a shtar that has a giant red flag waving out of it that's saying, there's a problem here. You're not allowed to use such a shtar, and a shu apostle, that's going to be apostle, and over here, that's exactly what you have, because you have a shtar that two brothers-in-law are signed on. Isn't that a giant red flag waving from the shtar? Amrlei, so he said to the Makabal Matana, who wanted to stake claim to his Matana, Zil lo shafki li du svinilach. I'm sorry, they're not letting me come up with any heter for you. I tried my best, but every time I try to come up with a heter, they have some sort of kasha on it. You can't rely on Eidim Mesira over here, so you're stuck in this situation because brothers-in-law are pasul le'edus. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow, we'll pick up there at the two dots.